I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are speaking with Mary Alice Hostetter. I loved your interview with Laura. So much of your story. There's Charlottesville, West Virginia, Southern Pennsylvania. It's like where I grew up. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. You know, I live in Charlottesville.
Right.
The mountains were my playground. So it's always nice to hear about that part of the country again. So, and you are a Mennonite still, right?
No, I am a lapsed Mennonite.
Okay, lapsed Mennonite. Okay, that's fair.
Isn't Lap a really common Amish name?
Is it?
It is.
Well, and Amish, just for clarity, people, the Amish and the Mennonite traveled much of the same journey, and then there was a split. You said sometime around the 17th century where the Mennonites were seen as too progressive for the Amish folks, which I think is an interesting, you know, sort of idea, because they both seem very stuck in their ways, as you will. But here on this interview, I see Mary on a computer in a house with electricity.
Yes.
enjoying a lifestyle that seems very modern and very happy.
Yeah.
Real quick. So you came to terms with the idea that you were gay in your 20s?
Yes.
So I want to talk a little bit about growing up, being gay as a Mennonite. I have a friend who grew up, you know, I lived in Utah for a while. So I lived amongst the LDS community. And the world's perceived ideas of the church and the community. And then there was the living ideas that we all walked in and out of throughout our day-to-day life. What is the stance for the Mennonites on the LGBT community, and how have they progressed, say, in your lifetime?
The church, when I was growing up, it was something not even mentionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ministers would certainly not do a sermon on the sins of being gay. It just was not mentioned.
It was not even a mentionable at that point, right?
Yeah,
okay.
It was beyond that. And I guess it was around the 80s or 90s that it was like the powers that be in the Mennonite church, it's like, it's almost like they discovered a new sin, as if it was a planet that had been out of the reach. And then
there were enough people displaying the conditions.
I don't know. I'm not sure what caused the shift, but it was at that point the church really, really started calling it out and having special meetings about it. And that evolved into the whole church splitting on the issue of gay and lesbian.
And that was in the 90s, so you say early or late 80s?
That's when the rumblings started, I think, early. And the whole impulse for the church to divide was probably 2010 or so, I think. So that's fairly recent that the church divided, and the more conservative group, which my parents would have probably been a part of, said no gay clergy, no gay marriage, no gay members if we know that they're gay. The more progressive church, Mennonite Church USA, they were much, much more accepting. And so as recently as last spring, they had a big meeting in Kansas or somewhere where they decided there could be gay clergy, there could be gay marriage sponsored by the church. So the divide has really gotten wider and wider in more recent years.
So
it's sort of all over the place.
Yeah, and you were observing this as a member of the community.
It all happened after I left, but a few of my family members are still involved with the church, so I was always very aware of it. The main splits happened after my parents had passed away, so they didn't have to make the tough decision, you know, about which way
church,
they would have gone.
Which, child, yeah,
yeah, yeah, uh-huh. It would have been an interesting.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered, and we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I guess my personal question is, looking back on the fact that you were, you know, sort of mortified into the idea that you couldn't sort of even own that truth with yourself, was there a sense of deniability? Like, you talked a lot about not even recognizing or having attraction to boys of the opposite sex, or you hadn't found the man with the right match, if you will. You know, but looking back now, from the perspective that you have, was there talk amongst your friends? Like, did you guys go, oh, I think that person might be, or?
No, not even. I don't remember in high school anybody even bringing it up as an issue. I mean, maybe more for guys. There was one guy who I think people may have called him a little bit of a sissy or some really terrible thing like that. But I don't think it was, you know, girls just didn't count for that much. So
hey, girls are smarter and better at hiding things than boys. I'm telling you, my 54 years has shown me.
it wasn't as huge a thing.
Are you happy with where we are today as far as the Mennonites and how we look at
I think they're going, they're going in such the right direction. It's a wonderful thing.
The other thing you talked about that I thought was really cool is that when you did decide to come out, that your family was really supportive, and your father even had said something that cleared the air to the fact that this shouldn't be something that disrupts our family. And you have a big family. You have at least 12 siblings and your parents, and that doesn't account for cousins and granddaughters.
Who knows how many there are. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about your brother's journey as well, which I really admire. And are there a lot of practicing Mennonites in your family still? Is there a divide where you guys sit, or is everybody
not very many? But it's the few who are. It's not. Uh-huh. It's hardly. I mean, I don't even know if I could do the list anymore of who is and who isn't, because they're all part of sort of one cloth. That it doesn't matter.
I am so happy that you came on the show and talked about your book, Plain, which is a memoir of a Mennonite childhood. I was looking through your other titles of your published works, and they sound super fascinating. Can I read a couple of the titles?
Sure.
Yeah. Dad, We've Been Gay Forever, which you have a podcast interview, I suppose. And you also are in the Modern Love New York Times for that. That sounds super interesting to me. There was another one in here. Oh, I had decided whether to recommend my rapist be paroled during the pandemic. Like, I was stunned by that one. That's HuffPost piece. Reclaiming Good Bones, I'm very curious about. We are so fortunate to have you on the show and share your story. We really appreciate you coming on. You guys check out the episode with her and Laura. It's a fascinating story. And check out her website. It's MaryAliceHostetter.com. Thank you again, Mary Alice.
Thank you.
And another fantastic episode in the can.
I love our show.
I do too. And speaking of our show, we want to thank all of our Patreons for making it possible. And we'd like to welcome the new ones as well.
Welcome. And hun, explain how it is that our Patreons support our show and how folks can join our Patreon.
Sure. So we are an independent podcast, which means that there is no corporation behind us, which also means we have the freedom to bring you the stories that you want to hear.
Yes, which also means that we depend on you to keep producing these stories.
Right. And we really appreciate you. So basically, to join, you just go to our website.
There's a link in our show notes of this episode to make it easy.
Then you follow the simple instructions. Also, there is a level for everybody. And after you join, you get access to all of our exclusive bonus content and special opportunities like monthly storytelling, which is a video series. We also do Zoom hangs. Please come hang with us. Monthly memberships start at $5 per month, not per day. That's per month. and the Zoom hangs are my favorite part. So which of our patrons are we shouting out today?
So today we're shouting out two of our favorites.
Right on.
Kelly Nishimoto of Cute Booty Lounge.
Right, Cute Booty.
Cute Booty was a concept that was born in Kelly's garage in 2004. She was looking to make pants that embrace a woman's curves, and particularly the what, hun?
The booty.
The booty. Mm-hmm. But they were still polished enough to wear out and about. Her signature is her patented scrunch booty pockets. Cute Booty Lounge is made by women for women right here in the USA, actually right here in Los Angeles.
Right.
The company is incredible. It's female and minority owned. You just go to cutebooty.com in our show notes and order yours today. And what do people always say to me when I wear my leggings, son?
Cute booty.
That's right.
Uh-huh. We also want to thank Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen.
Yes, a fantastic friend of the show from the beginning. We love your support, and we are so appreciative of you.
Super grateful. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, come join us on the Zoom hang.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avant House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group, or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.